and welcome to the Heat Check Podcast, Miami Herald's Miami Heat Podcast. I'm David Wilson, and I'm joined, as always, on the other line by Anthony Chang, our Heat beat writer here at the Herald. Anthony, I spent the last 10 minutes trying to come up with a good, like, Nikola Jokic, Jovic joke with your name, but I couldn't come up with anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, he has a sense of humor about it. We didn't ask him about it, but I guess on draft night, he said he still hasn't met Jokic, which... That'll be interesting writing a story with both those guys when they play each other, and trying not to get mixed up between their two names.
Yeah, it's he needs like a different name, like something just a little more different. Like Jokic, Jovic is like fine, whatever, I get it. But the first names are so similar. If he becomes like a star, it'll be weird.
I'm gonna call him Nick. How about that?
Nick. Nicky Yo.
That's what Pat Riley called him that yesterday. He asked him, "Can I call you Nick?" And he said, "Yeah." So maybe that's what he'll go by, Nick.
The NBA draft is in the books. NBA free agency will be here pretty much any minute by the time people are listening to this. When it opens up at 6 p.m. on Thursday, deals can officially get signed a few hours later. Really, right? Is it midnight that that new window opens? On July 1st, so we're right in the thick of it.
Well, deals can get signed July 6th, I believe.
July 6th, okay.
At noon, so it's like that. Gotcha, so they got like a week.
There. Yeah. Either way, we are right in the thick of it, the NBA offseason. We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. We're about 24 hours removed from the end of probably the dumbest NBA news cycle I can ever remember. With the Kyrie Irving, is he going to opt out or is he going to sign with the Lakers on a mid-level exception? In sports, they were talking about it like it was a done deal already, and then he comes out and announces that he's going back to Brooklyn. We'll get into all of this nonsense, but let's start with the draft because I love the draft. We both enjoyed watching the draft. The Heat take Nikola Jovic, who was a name I think we joked about.
We did.
In the lead up to the draft, I think everyone joked about it. I frankly did not know anything about him. I was stunned when he stood up and looked absolutely nothing like Nikola Jokic. I just assumed they would be like similar looking guys, not necessarily twins. The good news for Nikola Jovic is he didn't get drafted during a Taco Bell commercial like Nikola Jokic famously did. But... yeah, then they started showing some highlights of him. Obviously, he was in Miami for a press conference on Monday. He'll be there for Summer League. I'm kind of into him. Those highlights were pretty impressive. He's got a fun skill set. When I heard the name Nikola, it's just natural. You're going to assume he's kind of like a big plotting center. Obviously, Nikola Jokic is much more than that, but that's kind of the foundation there was he was a big guy back to the basket early on in his career. Nikola Jovic is not that. He's like kind of like a do-it-all 3-4 combo type guy who I don't know, it feels like he could do a whole bunch of different things and kind of like a, I don't know, obviously the defense will probably be a question because that's hard to I think judge coming to the NBA with a guy when you don't know like the level of competition and all that, how it'll translate, but at least offensively he seems to have a very Heat skill set.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of unlike anybody they've ever drafted before, right? Like, the last time they drafted an international prospect that didn't play in college, right, in the United States was, I think, 1996, Martin Mirsap. So it's been a while that the Heat have went this route, and he's a unique talent. I mean, young, just turned 19 a few weeks ago, one of the youngest guys they've ever drafted, offensively very skilled, 6'11". Wouldn't be surprised if he reaches 7 feet because he's still so young and he's grown like he's had a huge growth spurt. He said he grew another inch last year. So theoretically, he probably will be 7 feet by next year. And he can, he's a 3-level scorer, can make threes, shoot in the mid range. Obviously score around the basket, serve as a ball handler and screener in the pick and roll. Just a very versatile offensive player, very skilled that will obviously need some development and need some time to, get used to the NBA game, even on that end. Like you said, I think the big question mark is his defense, right? I mean, physically, 6'11", 230 pounds, like, he's going to get bullied a little bit.
Yeah, and rookies typically suck on defense.
Yeah, that's going to be a learning curve for him. I think Summer League will be our first chance to see, okay, can this guy actually play minutes like in as a rookie? I don't know that. And you know, we asked Adam Simon that and Pat Riley that on draft night, and they're like, we don't know. Like, it's going to depend on, we'll see in summer league where he's at. We'll see how much he can improve and work on his body in the next 2 or 3 months before camp. And then we'll figure that out. I don't think it's been ruled out, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of those picks that, you know, he's in the G League a little bit in the rookie, you know, as a rookie, because he's going to need some development. He's a very young and raw player. He took on basketball, I think, at 13. He was a water polo player. So he's a late bloomer.
Jokic was too, right? Wasn't that part of his Jokic's story? You know,
I feel like I've seen a picture of Jokic like in a water polo.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was a water polo player, which is how, you know, he's got all those like above the head passes. Like he's a water polo player.
True. Hey, look, I'll say this. If Jokic is anything close to Jokic, the Heat got a huge steal in the 27th pick. But he's an upside pick, which I think is interesting because we talk so much about
the Heat. About guys who can immediately contribute. Yeah. We saw EJ Liddell was sitting there. I texted you, right? I don't remember who picked right before the Heat, but right after that pick went in, I texted you like, wow, they could actually get this guy here because we weren't sure about it. Obviously, he ends up falling a lot further than
he did. Yeah, surprised by that.
Like, clearly, we were higher on him than NBA execs and scouts were, but like, you know, like you said, we thought they were going to try to get a guy who could help them right away. And frankly, I don't expect Jovic to necessarily be that next year, especially now like playoff time. I mean, you look at, you know, the Warriors had all these great rookies in the regular season, and those guys couldn't even get on the court in the playoffs. You can be a rookie in the regular season. Kendrick Nunn a couple years ago, right? Like, same deal. Like, in all likelihood, Jovic is probably not going to help this team come playoff time next year, which, again, was a little surprising. Now was EJ Liddell going to be that guy? Who knows?
That's the thing.
There was a more clear path, right, for EJ Liddell to, like, help you right away. But this is an upside pick. I mean, EJ Liddell has some very obvious flaws just, like, with his size and a little older. Jovic, like you said, a ton of upside here. I mean, that's always kind of like you take a European, you're like, a lot of upside. Who knows what this guy's going to look like? But you could see it just with the offensive skill set here, where if he can become a like competent defender, that offensive skill set is that just you combine that with adequate defense, and that's enough to be a good NBA player, a useful NBA player.
Yeah, I think to your point, like, there was no guarantee anybody they chose there at 27. Right. Was going to help them this year anyway. So I think the Heat decided, let's just go for the upside pick, right? And honestly, worst case scenario, they have a, you know, he's a rotate, like, let's say he turns into a bench, you know, rotation player off the bench. They have him under contract for 4 years, 5 years under team control, affordable deal, guy with upside that they have time to develop now on this rookie deal. So it makes sense, you know, and yes, your window is now, you got to win now. At the same time, you also got to plan for the future. You can't just totally.
And again, like you said, 27 is not like you can try to make a win now move, but there's no guarantee. Yeah.
There's no guarantee, right? And look, I'm not saying they're going to trade Jovic, but he's a guy with upside that might intrigue some teams. And he could be part, you know, if something comes up and they could trade for a star, and now they have another young, intriguing asset with upside, it's just another, you know, trade chip that they have, you know, in their belt. So
yeah, that was the next point. I mean, it's kind of like with when they took Precious, the ID, you know, I think, you know, he was conference player of the year in the American, I think, that year. So he had probably a little bit more of a pedigree where you kind of felt like he was going to be helpful, but he was still like kind of a project with a really unique skill set. And the Heat obviously trust their development ability to get out of a guy like that. Whereas Liddell, again, probably a little more of a finished product already. If you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to flip him for Donovan Mitchell or Bradley Beal or Kevin Durant, I think Jovic to a team that is going to be into a rebuild mode, which, you know, that would probably be the case, certainly in Washington, potentially in Utah, depending on how things go. You know, maybe Brooklyn, if we'll obviously talk a little bit more about that. Jovic is, you know, just seems much more appealing to a rebuilding team than a EJ Liddell or a high floor type guy. So I think it, like you say, it kind of helps them build for the future. Like, you always need to have an eye on the future, but I think it also does help short term because of the trade possibilities there. I mean, if he's awesome in summer league, and then, you know, the Heat are going to give him some chances in the regular season just because Jimmy's going to take time off. Kyle Lowry's going to take time. Like, he's going to get some looks at some point in the regular season, I'm sure. If he flashes a little bit, then all of a sudden he becomes, I think, a pretty interesting piece, because he's got a tantalizing skill set. He's got, like, you know, if you just look at the maximum ability of what he can be, like, that's like an all-star type guy, just because of all the different things he can do on offense. Again, the defense is a huge question mark, and whether he can hit all those, his ceiling as a 19-year-old is up for debate, but, you know, he's got skill set of a guy who you look at and you're like, that guy can be, you know, an engine of your offense a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, theoretically, like, even though he's probably not going to play a lot of minutes, like, right away, he's probably one of the most skilled offensive players in the roster already, just with his kind of versatile offensive skill set and everything he can do on the end of the court. But yeah, I think, yeah, he'll get minutes here and there, spot minutes. I mean, look, even like Max Strus, undrafted free agent, gets signed, signs a two-way, and he's playing some significant minutes as a rookie. So it's a little different because he's a younger player, Jovic, but yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's always, as we know, during spots in the season where guys are injured, or now these days COVID or different things like that, that you need your depth. And I'm sure Jovic will be a part of that.
Are you excited? I mean, we were talking, I don't remember if we talked about this on the mic or just off mic last week, about like, you never know what the summer league is going to be like when you're drafting this low.
Yeah.
Is he a guy you're excited to?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's like, that's a summer league play. Like, if you take an EJ Liddell, it's like kind of like, oh, whatever. This guy's a role. Like, his ceiling is a role player. Yeah. Yeah. Jovic's ceiling is like star. And in the summer league, that means he gets to like take 25 shots a game or something.
Yeah. I mean, his summer league team is going to be pretty good because they have Jovic, but then they have four guys who were part of their roster last season: Yurtseven, Smart, Highsmith, Mulder, and then all the undrafted guys they signed. Like, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch Jovic play, especially like if they start. I know Yurtseven is not going to play until they get to Vegas, so he's not playing in San Francisco. But a front court of Yurtseven and Jovic, that'll be fun to watch.
I'm kind of not expecting to see a lot of Yurt in summer league.
He probably won't play much, but even those like two games maybe he plays in Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what that looks like, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I think just the element of the unknown, like, yeah, Jovic has played games, a lot of games in Serbia, but we haven't seen him, like,
yeah,
we
watched him on TV. I don't know enough about the Serbian league to like speak to how good those teams are, but the athleticism in summer league is always a step up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a different game too. Like, the rules are a little different, but it's different than a guy like we've watched like Gonzaga play for 3 years.
Right. Exactly. Right?
Like, we've seen clips of this guy, but we haven't.
He's never played against a single player he's going to play against in summer league. Like, he's an unknown.
Yeah. So that it'll be fun. I think it adds definitely an intriguing element to summer league.
And he's going to be like their shot guy. Like, he's going to be the guy driving the offense, you know?
I would think so. I mean, I guess you could say Mulder or.
Right. I mean, they've got like Smart, at least point guard, or whatever. So, like,
But Jovic, definitely got a lot of reps, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, Pat basically said it, right? Like, let it fly.
Let it fly, yeah. We're not going to overcoach you. Let it fly. Like, use your instincts and, like, let's see what we got. So I think it'll be good for Jovic to get that, like, get that experience, but also for the Heat to kind of see what they're getting. Because, yeah, I mean, they've scouted him, obviously, and they've gone to Serbia to watch him, and they watch his pro day in Chicago. But I think summer league, they'll get a pretty good, like, idea of maybe how much he could do at this point.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, let's pivot over to free agency. Where should we start? Because the story of the week, the old news by the time people listen to this, was the weirdest, like, 12-hour Kyrie Irving news cycle where everyone, I think I saw he was getting traded to five different teams. He was signing the mid-level with the Lakers. He was going to be on the Heat. He was going to be on the Wizards. Maybe he'd go to Chicago. Maybe Kevin Durant was going to go to Miami. Maybe Kevin Durant was going to Chicago. And then at like 5:30 p.m. or something, Kyrie just acts like he's making earth-shattering news and opts in. Thinking differently by taking
a $36 million contract? Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, wow, I'm thinking real differently. I'm going to take a ton of money. So it seems like for now we can probably assume that, I don't know.
Don't ever assume anything.
Never assume anything with the Brooklyn Nets, I guess, but it doesn't seem like they're going to be urgently moving those guys at this point, right? So probably makes the storylines a little bit less exciting for the Heat going into free agency week. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if this was still looming, like Kyrie and Kevin Durant would have still been possibilities, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how realistic they would have been, but they would have been possibilities. Not ruling it out. And you never rule it. I mean, look, I don't know what their plans are with Kyrie, but can you? I would argue that it's easier now to trade Kyrie than it was before, because before we need to take a sign and trade, and he wouldn't need to agree to a long term contract, and not many teams wanted to give him that. Now he's an expiring deal.
Yeah,
that's true. So would you be surprised if somehow the Lakers put together a package and like got a deal? I mean, they don't have much to give other than like Russell Westbrook and picks, but
it could happen today, right? Russell Westbrook.
Russell opted in, or like another team that wants to get a chance in Kyrie for an expiring deal. So obviously you can't question Kyrie's talent. He's one of the best players and best offensive players in the league. So yeah, for now it's done, and you would expect Kevin Durant to stay in Brooklyn now that Kyrie's. We think he's staying.
As long as Kyrie is in Brooklyn, I feel pretty confident Kevin Durant will be in Brooklyn.
Yeah, but it was an it made for interesting headlines for like those 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, well, Monday it was like one of the quietest sports. You know, the Stanley Cup was done the night before, so we're done with hockey and basketball playoffs. Baseball Monday is always a quiet day in the baseball world. Wimbledon was just starting, so nothing interesting happening there. So like, the only story that was happening in the world was this Kyrie drama that wound up being not very dramatic, at least for now. But again, like you said, are you interested at all in him with the Heat?
Not if it took Bam or Jimmy. And I wouldn't trade Tyler Hero for him either.
Yeah, I think
it's too big of a question mark. And from what I was told, I don't think the Heat were. I'm not saying that he weren't interested in Kyrie. I'm sure they poked, like Sham said, they poked around. But I mean, obviously they're gonna do their due diligence. But the Heat, from what I know, like they didn't aggressively pursue Kyrie. You know, it's one of those things that like if he could be had for cheap, which at one point there was a thought that maybe he could, right? Because they were saying he might take exception money. Or maybe it doesn't take Tyler to get a deal done. Like, yeah, maybe the Heat would have done it, but they weren't like head over heels trying to get Kyrie. I think it depends on the cost. Yeah, I'm obviously interested. You know, I'd be intrigued if I were the Heat in Kyrie Irving because he's a unique talent. But I wouldn't like give up my top trade assets for him at this point.
Yeah, I want no part of him.
Yeah, I mean. It's tough. Like, this is going to be, if he really does stay with Brooklyn and like he plays 70 plus games and he has
a major outlier in the last 5 years.
Sure. But you know that he'll get the contract he's looking for next year if he does.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what this year is going to be about for him, right? Like building up his stock. Like he kind of just learned, I think, he won't obviously like he's not going to make it seem that way, but it's pretty clear that there weren't a lot of teams going after him.
Yeah.
This week. So I think you realize you have to build your stock back up. If he's available and he plays and Brooklyn gets far in the playoffs and he's a big part of that, he'll do that.
He basically hasn't had a meaningful moment in the NBA since he made one of the biggest shots in NBA history, to be fair.
Yeah.
Beat the Warriors. But since then, no one has gathered more headlines for a guy who has like accomplished less than him.
Yeah, I think that's
fair. NBA. Yeah. I mean, he was on the team the next year when they went to the finals.
Right.
But obviously they got wiped off the floor by the Warriors and kind of ran through a crappy Eastern Conference. And the next year he goes to Boston, did absolutely nothing in his 2 years in Boston. and has done nothing in 2 years in Brooklyn. So
yeah, 3 years in Brooklyn. The first year, I think he played like 20 something games because of a shoulder injury. And second year in Brooklyn, he played. It was a bunch of personal issues that, you know, kept him out for a few games. And last year, obviously, with the whole like not getting vaccinated thing, like he didn't play much either. So yeah, it's been a weird 3 years. He hasn't really accomplished much in Brooklyn. He hasn't been available enough to accomplish anything in Brooklyn. But we'll see if that changes this year. I mean, obviously, if like the Nets have Kyrie and KD for most of the season,
yeah, they'll be good.
And Ben Simmons is healthy, like they're going to be a contender. But there's always that big question mark with them, especially with Kyrie and Ben Simmons.
I think, you know, and you mentioned, do the Heat have very much interest in Kyrie? Probably not. And I have to imagine part of that is that if Kyrie goes somewhere else, they are going to be like first in line in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes.
Yeah, I think
like you wait out the Kyrie move because you want to get the second move and get Kevin Durant.
Why are you going to like get like you basically take yourself out of the Kevin Durant?
Right. Exactly.
If you trade for Kyrie. So, yeah, I think there was obviously a lot more interest in the Heat and Kevin Durant if he were to become available. Like they would have been all in on that.
Yes, that's breaking news.
Yeah, I don't think I'm breaking news by saying that. I guess 28, 29 teams probably would have been all in on Kevin Durant if he was available. That would have been crazy. Like that Kevin Durant sweepstakes, it would have been like maybe some unlike anything we've seen because he has 4 years left on his deal. And like even teams that he doesn't want to go to would probably be willing to trade for him because he has 4 years left on his deal. And what is he going to do? Right. So it would have, definitely would have been a crazy few weeks if that would happen. But it looks like Kevin Durant staying in Brooklyn.
Do you think, this is, again, like, we're getting, like, steps away, but, like, the fact that there is the possibility, again, we're saying for now Brooklyn maybe is, like, they got their guys, like, whatever, they're planning to go into this year and contend, but just knowing that the possibility that Brooklyn can blow up at any minute and maybe Kevin Durant becomes available, do you think that would, you've been pretty set on like the idea that maybe the Heat are not going to go necessarily like they're going to kind of mostly just keep things intact. You know, maybe if a guy like Beal or Mitchell really becomes available, they'll be in. But do you think the fact that Kevin Durant is still like, maybe he gets moved by the trade deadline because Kyrie, like something weird happens and he ends up on the Lakers. Like, do you think that there is a part of that with the Heat where they, like, why worry too much about Donovan Mitchell or Bradley Beal when there's an X percent chance that you can get under it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's in the back of their mind, but I don't know how you can bank on that because even if he does become available, like
it's a risk. It would be a risk to wait.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be every team competing for him, right? And you're not – I mean, he could put together a very good offer, but I don't know if it's
the best. They got to let Jovic loose.
Jovic starts out, is averaging 25 points a game in the first 2 months. Then maybe they don't need Durant, right? They have Durant on their roster.
That's true.
But I don't know if you can bank on that because there'll be so much competition for Kevin Durant from almost every team in the league. Mm-hmm. And you don't know if he's going to become available. I mean, again, like for all we know, Brooklyn could be really good this year and they make it work. And Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving spend their entire careers in Brooklyn and they win 3 championships. I don't know. So, yeah, it is a possibility. Just like, you never know what's going to happen with Donovan Mitchell and Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard. But for now, it doesn't seem like those guys are going to be available anytime soon. Looks like Bradley Beal is going back to Washington, going to sign the max extension. Donovan Mitchell, there really hasn't been too many rumblings about him leaving.
He still is the one that feels like that could change at any time. Yeah. He kind of just felt on, like there's been a lot of reporting on Beal that he's going to like sign the extension and go back to Washington. In Utah, they just hired a coach like an hour ago or something. Like they've kind of been unsettled, which has made it like, I think, a little hard for Mitchell's name to know what his future is. He's still the one that I feel like could get moved this summer out of like the Sellers.
Sure. Part of me feels like he's going to see how it works out there.
Yeah, that's
like, with the new coach and now like Fizdale in the front office and let's see what they do with Rudy Gobert, right? It seems like that's inevitable at some point that they're going to trade Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. We'll see what they get for him. So I feel like he's going to try to make it work for now. But again, like that's why I've always felt that the likelihood was that the Heat are going to run it back for the most part. Like, yeah, there'll be changes. Yeah. there just isn't that, there isn't like that avenue for them to really make a huge change unless one of these guys demands a trade. They don't have cap space.
Yeah.
They have exceptions to sign guys. So yeah, maybe they'll add a role player, you know, to the rotation, but it's going to be the same core unless somebody unexpectedly becomes available in the next few weeks. Like it's not like I'm making a bold prediction. Like that,
right.
Just kind of what all signs point to at this point.
Well, I'll say it was kind of a bold prediction to say that you don't think like any of these big stars are going to move. And yeah, just because that's how the NBA works, the big stars move. There tends to be at least one kind of like big trade every summer at this point. But kind of like that's where we're at right now. And again, yeah, things are going to change a million more times probably between now and Thursday, and then between then and July 6th, and then between then and the start of the regular season. But right now, like you're saying, nothing seems – now that Kyrie is opted in, and I think Brooklyn knows they've got to keep Kyrie to keep Kevin Durant, basically, right? Like, they are really incentivized to kind of keep that thing together. Does not feel like there's an imminent star to be traded. Now, again, like it could change any minute, but that's ultimately where we're at. And I kind of like when you were always saying that you thought it was going to run it back. The reason I wasn't sure about that is because I thought stars were going to be available and all of a sudden there aren't any. So now we're talking about PJ Tucker.
I was going to say PJ Tucker, like speaking of running it back, I might be wrong most of the core will be back, but a member of the core could leave in PJ Tucker. And that's what Pat Riley called him during the season ending press conference. He said PJ's part of the core
this year, probably
fourth. Yeah. Back. Starting power forward, one of the most reliable players. That was the guy they stuck on the best player, you know, on the opposing team in the playoffs, was a surprisingly good, versatile offensive player for the Heat. And I kind of just assumed PJ would be back, honestly. I know that the Heat really value PJ. I thought PJ was happy in Miami. Like, it seemed like he was happy in Miami. Him and Jimmy built a pretty good relationship. He was being used in ways he hadn't been used, like, in 6-7 years offensively. They're a good team. He has a starting role. I just assumed he'd be back. And the Heat have, like, the means to bring him back, right? They have the exception and can match really pretty much any offer if they wanted to. With that full exception. But now, I mean, just as we started to record this, Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer reported, he's been reporting that PJ is going to Philly like for the last week, but he doubled down and said that PJ will choose the Sixers 3-year $30 million offer over opportunities to remain in Miami or go back to Milwaukee. So I don't know, again, like I have to do some reporting on this, but like, I don't know if that means the Heat aren't going to offer him that, because they could, right? We can get into a conversation next of like if they should, but they could offer him 3 years, $33 million, and either match Philly's offer or I guess exceed if it's really 3 years, $30 million from Philly, as Keith Pompey is reporting. Or it means like he's picking Philly no matter what, even if the Heat gave him the most money they could. Like, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, like I entering today, I still thought like there was a pretty good chance PJ would be back. I just can't see the Heat letting him leave, but if PJ is really dead set on going to Philly, as these reports are saying, then maybe not. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out in the next few days.
Yeah, $30 million buys a lot of pancakes.
Oh, yeah. A lot of pancakes. I think unlimited pancakes for life. But David, honestly, though, like, the Heat could – let's say Philly does offer him the 3 years, $30 million, right? Uh-huh. And PJ goes to the Heat and says, I want to stay in Miami, but you guys got to give me the 3-year, $33 million deal, fully guaranteed. Use that exception. So, A, you're paying him around $11 million when he's 40, right? And B, by using that exception, you pretty much are saying bye probably to Caleb Martin, because that's their biggest like asset to use on signing either Caleb or an outside free agent. If they use that exception on PJ, like all they have is like the $4 million biannual and minimums pretty much. So like, would you give him that? Like would you be willing to do it to keep him and sign him to that 3-year, $33 million deal?
I don't know. 33 years, he's going to be 40 by the end of that deal.
Yeah.
We talked about last week. He is still good, very good right now, to good to very good, whatever you want to call it. He is pretty reliant on the corner three-point shot for his scoring. Obviously still a very good defender. I probably would lean toward no, because I think with Caleb, you know, I think both of us are pretty high on Caleb. I think it's going to depend on how high the Heat are on Caleb, I think, right? Because if you think you can basically, like, whatever the next step Caleb is going to take plus, I don't know, like, whatever player, you're going to sign someone probably to replace PJ. If you think you can basically make up what PJ Tucker was with Caleb plus whatever, and, you know, you can get a younger guy, like, you don't have to worry about what's PJ Tucker going to look like when he's 40 years old. I think that's the smarter play.
Yeah.
Now you might feel pretty dumb if PJ Tucker is still like the same player in 3 years.
Like the Bucks did last year, right?
Yeah, they exactly.
Missed PJ. Like, Bucks really missed him.
Yeah. I would lean, you know, I would probably lean toward no. I think between Caleb and whatever else you can get there out on the open market, I think you can mostly piece it together. But obviously, I mean, the Heat missed PJ Tucker a lot in game 7 of that Celtics series too, right? He missed the second half of that game.
Yeah.
With an injury, and obviously they come up just short. So, you know, you worry, you talked about the Jay Crowder situation last week, and you wonder if the Heat are a little, like, scarred by that, and is it too risky to let PJ Tucker go because of that? But I don't know. I mean, giving a guy like PJ Tucker, who again is like a fifth starter essentially, right? I mean, he was probably the Heat's fourth best starter, and banking on that guy still being good until he's 40, I think is pretty risky. But at the same time, if you're like, our window is these next 2 years, and
next,
like,
years, you've got to do it, yeah,
you got to do it, because, you know, at some point you're going to be paying, like, it's been the concern with this core all along, is if Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler fall off, like, you're kind of screwed anyway. So maybe you just go really all in for the next year or two and bank on, you know, whatever. If we stink in 3 years, like, it is what it is.
Yeah. I think if I'm the Heat, I'd be willing to give them the third year. If it is using the, and we're getting into the weeds here, but
all right,
forgive me, the non-Bird exception, which is a little less. It's $8.4 million. You can give them 3 years, $27 million. So it's $6 million less than you can give them with the other exception. So it's less money you'd have to take, but it's with guaranteed third year. You could, I guess, argue and make the pitch to PJ that it's state taxes, like,
good taxes,
get it, yeah, closer, even though Pennsylvania's state income tax rate is only 3%. So it's not much, but still, it makes up for a little bit of difference. He has a really good, big role in Miami. You know, you're going to be on a good team. He already lives down here. Has, like, established reputation down here.
Free Big Face Coffee for life.
Free Big Face Coffee for life. And then the reason I would do that, not only because it's less money, but also then you still have the $10.3 million exception to use on Caleb Martin.
Yeah.
Or on another free agent. So it preserves your flexibility. And I think that's huge. I think that's one of the biggest reasons. I don't know if I would do the 10.3 for PJ.
Yeah.
Not because of the 40-year. I mean, yeah, that's something you have to consider. But the fact that you basically limits your flexibility.
Right. It's altogether. That risk. So, it's the risk of what he looks like when he's 40 combined with losing, yeah, Caleb Martin.
Or anybody else you could sign with $10 million.
Or anybody else you can sign, yeah, with that. Like, you're probably getting better, or you're staying as good. Like, you know, that's PJ Tucker probably will be a better player than Caleb Martin, whoever else you can get. But is the difference that much? I think that is a fair. That's an open question.
Right. Or in, like, year two or year three of the contract,
yeah, especially will be better than Caleb Martin. Year three, yeah. Right.
Or and, like, you might be able to get Caleb and somebody, another free agent, with that $10.3 million. Because
can they reunite the Martin twins?
You might. I mean, why not give them $5 million each? $5 million each?
Yeah, and the Morris twins move.
Yeah, and be done with it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be, I guess, like, again, I still think it's a possibility returns to Heat. I know, like, Keith Pompey, Mark Stein are reporting strongly that he's going to Philly. It's kind of crazy, right? Like, didn't the Bulls and Heat get...
We talked about this last week. Like, they're not going to be picking in the second round next year. It doesn't sound like.
and the Knicks either. I mean, I think, like, as we're recording this, I don't know if it's like Chris Mannix reporting that, like, it, basically, like, about the pitch, Knicks pitch to Jalen Brunson and how Jalen Brunson is now expected to go to New York. It's like, what day? It's June 28th, right? It's not July 1st.
We got 48 hours before we
get stuff. It's just, it'll be interesting to see how the NBA handles that, right? But yeah, I guess Heat fans do have to get ready for the possibility that PJ Tucker might not be with the Heat next season. Not only that, he might be on a team that they're competing with in, you know, for one of the top spots in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that he would go to the Sixers if the Heat were offering him the same thing.
I would think so, but man, like, how could you make that decision? If these reports are true, and Keith Pompey is a very credible reporter, Mark Stein is obviously a very credible reporter. If he's already, like, feels that strongly that he's going to Philly, like, I don't know. Like, you would think he, like, I remember Jay Crowder when all that was going on. Like, he was, Barry and I reported that he gave the Heat a night to, like, think this through, like, to make sure they didn't want to up their offer. Like, he really wanted to come back.
Right.
You know, like, he gave him a night to sleep on it, gave him a chance to increase the offer. The Heat said, that's it. That's as far as we're going to go. And he went to Phoenix. But, like, it seems like PJ is, like, already not going to even give the Heat much of a chance when negotiations actually are allowed to begin. Again, if this is true. So we'll see in the next few days.
Assuming they lose PJ Tucker, are there any interesting names, any names that have popped out to you who are, like, guys to maybe watch, whether it's stuff you've heard within the Heat or just, like, guys who you think help either fill that role or maybe fill a different role that they can change some stylistic stuff?
A few, like, names in free agency, at least, or, like, Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah, Otto is the one who stood out to me. I liked what he did in the finals, honestly. Like, he was kind of streaky with his shot, but...
Yeah, I mean, he's one that would make sense. I don't know if, you know, if the Heat have the exception to use, I'm sure they could probably get him for that, right? TJ Warren, could he play power forward? I know there's some bad blood between Jimmy and him, but, I mean, he's probably the most talented forward of the group that the Heat would be able to get. At that price point, Thaddeus Young, a name that's, like, been linked to the Heat every year.
Trade deadline name for us, right?
Every year, I feel like. Kyle Anderson, I mean, Chris Boucher, I don't think that would
Anderson,
work.
I like Anderson a lot. He doesn't seem like he fits, like, what the Heat are
for. Yeah, I agree.
He's redundant with Nikola Jovic.
Right, yeah, no, for sure. And maybe Chris Boucher is another name that, like, I don't think he fits either. Like,
he's like a center.
He's like a he's
too Marvin Bagley too, also like a center to me more than like a.
I mean, one name that would work, like, fit perfectly for what PJ brought, but I just don't know what the chances of him leaving Milwaukee is. Bobby Portis.
Yeah, I love Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis would be a perfect fit for what they look for in that four spot next to Bam. Other than that, I mean,
Derek Jones Jr.
Caleb Martin, right? Caleb Martin might be
Caleb and Cody, right? Just reunite them. I have no idea how much money Cody Martin's going to get, or, like, if that's possible, but, like...
I'm guessing mid-level.
I'm looking at this list from hoopsrumors.com of free agent rankings. They got Cody 29, Caleb 30, so...
I think that the big, like, PJ might leave, and that's painful for the
PJ 21, for what it's worth on this list.
For what, 21? Okay.
21.
But the bigger issue to me is, like, who do you replace him with if he leaves?
Right.
Like, that is, like, the concerning issue, because they spent an entire year trying to replace Jay Crowder. They never were able to, with Mo Harkless, and they traded for Trevor Ariza. It just
losing PJ Tucker for next year will obviously hurt them more than losing Caleb Martin did. You just look at the minutes they played in the playoffs. The Heat were much more reliant on PJ Tucker when things mattered than they were on Caleb Martin. Now, again, Caleb Martin is still much earlier in his development than maybe we'd be having a different conversation 12 months from now. But that's obviously the concern, is they're not, you know, it's not like a one for one fit with that, where you just give PJ Caleb Martin's minutes. They're different guys.
Yeah. Another name that, like, listen, I'm not reporting this, but, like, it's just been a name that's always linked to the Heat, and I guess would make some sense, is Harrison Barnes. He's under contract, but he could try to trade for him. He kind of fits what they need at that fourth spot. Kyle Kuzma, another interesting name that is always talking
about. I think he would be a really, really good fit.
Yeah. So, I mean, they don't have to fill the hole in free agency, right? They could try to trade for a guy like that. But the point is, like, it's going to be tough for the Heat to find exactly what PJ gave them this season. He was so
very unique. I mean, he's one of the most unique players in the NBA. There's really no one.
And Bam is a unique center, so you need a unique four. And that's what makes it so tough. I mean, the Heat have cycled through so many guys next to Bam. Kelly Olynyk, Myers Leonard, Jay Crowder, Trevor Ariza, Mo Harkless, like, you know, PJ Tucker this year. Like, only a few have really fit really well. And PJ and Jay are like the two. So it'd be a shame if they obviously lost Jay after a season and they lose PJ after a season. Like, just unfortunate for the Heat.
Joe Ingles, another one I like.
Joe Ingles, obviously, like, he'd be great fit, but
he's like not on this top 50 list for some reason.
Others. I don't think they know if he's gonna be available. They don't know if he's gonna be, because he had it was Achilles injury, I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so, you know, he had to have surgery on it, and
right.
I think that's
a little different too. He's more of a three than a four, probably.
Sorry, but no, it was a torn ACL. I apologize.
But, yeah, I think it was going on him. Like him.
Yeah, point. That's the point. Like, we just don't know when he'll be available and how he'll be. But yeah, Joe Ingles would fit well, I think.
Carmelo does not give you at all the same thing, but
yeah. I mean, they're names, but there's no one like.
Yeah.
It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be hard.
Yeah, like, part of it. It's a gamble, right? You get by letting him walk. It's a gamble that. One, he will not age as gracefully as the Sixers think or as they're willing to risk. Two, that Caleb Martin will continue to improve. Because if PJ leaves, I think it's pretty safe to assume that Caleb will be back.
Right.
It's a gamble. Three, you can find someone in free agency who will help make up for some of what you lose. And then, like you said, it's also a gamble that maybe by the trade deadline, if it's not working, you can trade for Kyle Kuzma or Harris. Like, that someone will be available who you feel can give you some sort of a replacement of what PJ gave you.
Kevin Durant would be a good fit. Yeah.
Now that those midseason trades, never, you don't want to bank on that. I mean, you think of the midseason.
You just don't know.
He'd have made, like, you know, it's been pretty hit or miss.
Yeah, you just don't. You can't bank
on. Jay Crowder was like, if you get Jay Crowder, that's perfect. Like, if you get a guy who replicates what he did, but you know, sometimes you give Mo Harkless a contract and it doesn't work out at all.
No. So yeah, the Heat learned that lesson 2 years ago, and I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm saying that I don't know if they regretted it, because again, it was a 3-year contract Jay Crowder got for a good amount of money, but I'm sure that year in the present moment they regretted it, right?
Because they're watching Jay Crowder play in the finals.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were struggling. You know, they try to get, like I said, Trevor Ariza, and that again, that he didn't feel really
fit one.
Either.
He's in trade that didn't work out.
Yeah, so we'll see. But that, I think, is the big question right now for the Heat entering free agency, because, you know, Caleb Martin, that probably will be decided with what happens with PJ Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Oladipo, they have his full bird rights, so technically they could keep him if they wanted to. I guess it'll just depend on his price.
Yeah.
And how much, you know, he gets in the open market. I would expect maybe like mid-level money for Victor, mm-hmm. Which I don't think is a bad deal for him if the Heat want to keep him. Like, I think that's, considering his upside and potential and his first healthy offseason in like 4 years,
yeah.
I think that's reasonable to like give him that to keep him. But to me, PJ is kind of the headliner here, mm-hmm. entering Thursday.
Hassan Whiteside, free agent, bring Hassan back.
Don't see that one. I don't see
Heat
that.
Heat legend Nemanja Bjelica, free agent.
He really gave Golden State some good minutes there in the playoffs.
He had like two possessions in, was it game, I can't remember if it was game five or game six, where the Celtics had him on like back-to-back possessions. I think he stripped Jaylen Brown, which I guess is not that hard to do, it doesn't seem, and like stopped someone else. Like, he's feisty.
He is.
Is Goran coming back?
I mean, I feel like it's at some point he's going to join Dallas, right? Like, it just makes sense, especially if there's Jalen Brunson.
That's true.
And he's, you know, he's been rumored to play with Luka for so long.
He would have to basically give him a minimum that he would just be like, I want to come back to Miami, essentially, yeah. Right?
I mean, he could, he loves Miami. We know that. He's always here. He's always wearing Heat shirts. Like, it's just, he's a Heat lifer, as they say. So I mean, it could be back, right? But I guess it just depends on if he does want to play with Luka for a season, if the Heat have room for him on the roster, I mean, with Gabe Vincent, like how much is Goran going to play? That's another thing. So I just don't know.
Yeah, Miami would be like a retirement job for him, basically.
Yeah, I just don't know if it makes sense, especially like if Udonis Haslem comes back, you're gonna have two guys in the back end of your roster who are not playing. Not saying that Goran can play, like I'm
still he had some moments last year. Yeah.
But it's just I don't know if like it's the fit with Gabe Vincent, kind of establishing himself as the backup point guard.
Yeah, Markieff, you think he's going down?
I don't think so. I feel like that one just kind of it just seems like both sides is probably makes it makes sense to part ways. You know, maybe if it was PJ, they see Markieff as an option.
Then maybe there's he was the starter at the beginning of the year. I think people kind of forget that. Yeah.
There was a whole conversation of like who's going to start, PJ or Markieff, before last season. So maybe they kind of revisit that if as a backup plan if PJ actually leaves, and he probably could be had for the minimum or very cheap at this point because he really didn't have a season last year. Like it was kind of a
waste. He's somewhere on that list of PJ replaced, even if he's the last guy on that list. He's somewhere on that list.
He's somewhere so you can't rule it out. But yeah, Deadman, Markieff, but I don't know if the Heat just want to give the backup center job now to Yurtseven, kind of give him that opportunity. And then it might not make sense to bring Deadman back. Then Markieff, you know, again, it might just depend on what the roster looks like 3 days into free agency.
All right. I think we can wrap things up there. We'll be back next week to recap free agency, I guess. Most of the big news will be out of the way by then, right? Even though, actually, I guess by the time we're back next week, yes, the contracts will officially have been signed. I forgot we're recording this a couple days early. We'll also do, I guess probably, we'll see how much news comes about next week, but we'll talk Summer League at some point here. When do you head to Vegas?
Actually next Wednesday, July 6th.
Oh, so you might be recording, well, we'll see when we record this, but you might be recording from the craps table at the Bellagio.
I think so. I imagine that we will be recording, next time we record, I will be in Vegas. So
all right.
You should fly out there.
Very exciting.
Tell the Miami Herald to fly you out there just so we can record the podcast live in Vegas for the second
straight. We did that last year, so it was worth it.
Yeah, I think they can make that happen. Let's do it.
All right. Thanks, as always, for listening. You can follow Anthony on Twitter at Anthony_Chang. Follow him for all your Heat offseason updates because there are a lot of them these days. You can follow me on Twitter at DBWilson2. I'm sure I'll be chipping in a little bit on Heat coverage here and there over the next few weeks. But anyway, thanks as always for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.